Well, it's nice to see you guys out on this icy, semi-icy morning in the sun. I came through down 193 today, and I asked God, I was sitting in the car and driving along, and I was like, okay, God, which way should I go? 193 came to mind, and it was like, 193? Oh, God, I don't know. Go 193. All right. And I did. And it was a wonderful, nice, quiet drive through the countryside, like going through Neverland. So that was my gift. God's gift to me this morning was a wonderful drive out here. A gift that I'm going to share with you today is a book called The Third Jesus by Deepak Chopra. It's an awesome book, and I highly recommend it. Everybody get it for their library, because Deepak talks about the three different kinds, or the three different Jesuses that we know. And the first is the historical Jesus, and this is whose birth that we are celebrating today, and whose birth we celebrate the Christ Mass, or the Christmas. The Jesus who was born in a stable to parents Mary and Joseph. The Jesus who was that we hear that the angels went to shepherds and announced that he was born and sang to them, like we sing to each other today. Then the wise man followed the star to come and see him. And actually, this week I heard something very interesting, that they figured out now why there was a star. It turns out that, and it wasn't at Christmas time, there was a major conjunction of Venus and Jupiter, a very, very rare occurrence. They were so close in the sky to each other that they looked like a big star, a new star. So just a little bit for you astrologers and everything. So Jesus was probably a Gemini. And if you follow the language of astrology, it makes a lot of sense considering his temperament. Also, this is the Jesus who survived King Herod. He taught in the temple at 12 years old, and he disappeared for about 10 years. When he returned, he went about teaching in the countryside, healing and preparing people, and preparing people for his ministry. And this is the Jesus whose teachings have been the foundation of Christian theology and thought. Number two is the Jesus, the Son of God, a man, God/man, who is embodied by institutional religions with specific dogmas, like priests and devoted believers. The Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church is the one who follows this Jesus. This is the Jesus who is God, the only Son of God. The Jesus whose teachings we must try to live up to, but many times we never can. This is the Jesus who is invoked in prayer as an intercessor to God. We pray for, and this is who we pray to, or we can pray to for guidance. And also, this is the Jesus whose wars were fought under. And, you know, there's nothing to, I want to say that I think it's okay for people to pray to God through Jesus. You practice it until you can get it on your own. The third is the Jesus that I adhere to, and this is the Jesus, the teacher and the spiritual guide. The teacher whose teachings embraces all humanity, not just the church and religious institutions that were built in his name. This is the Jesus who speaks to us individually. He tells us to find God in the personal experiences. Say, for instance, seek and ye shall find. That was a wonderful verse that is it, you know, we attribute to Jesus. And this is that Jesus shows through his teachings how to attain what some of us call grace, or grace meaning taking God into our hearts and our God consciousness, or enlightenment. We hear all the yogis and everybody talking about enlightenment, but this is the Jesus who teaches us how to do that by going within. This is the teachers who, Jesus who's the spiritual guide. If we just look at Jesus as a teacher, we can learn so much about who and what God is. That we are all sons of God, identified with God, and then Jesus identified with God so much that he felt a kinship to it. He said, "I and the Father am one. I am the light of the world. I am come that they may have life everlasting." When Jesus was talking about the I am, he wasn't talking about the I am him. He was talking about the I am, that which we talk about every Sunday when we get here. We talk about God, the God that is that we are. This is what Jesus was talking about. Most, like I said, most of Jesus' teachings began with the words, "I am." I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And this is what God is to each and every one of us. When he said these things, he did not mean that only he could do them. I want to say that again because I think it's really worth saying. And he said that we could perform miracles. He said that everything that he did, we could do too. It's on page 98 here of the book, the verse. "Very truly I say unto you, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. If in my name you ask anything, I will do it." So you can go through Jesus, but you can also become so God-centered and so realized that you can do all of the things that Jesus was doing. There are lots of gifts from Jesus' teachings, and in the book, in Deepak Chopra's book, there are 9, and there's the oh gosh, let me get to page 23. I forgot to write this down. These are the ones that Deepak Chopra talks about: meditation, going within to contact the silent mind, contemplation, reflecting on the truth, revelation, receiving spiritual insight, prayer, asking for guidance, grace, taking God into one's heart, love, participating in divine love, faith, believing in a higher reality, salvation, realizing that you have a place in higher reality, and unity, becoming one with God. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I did pick out 3 that I think are very, that we as religious scientists use all the time, and that is meditation, contemplation, and prayer. These are the gifts that Jesus gave. For example, Ernest Holmes, who took a lot of his teaching from the words of Jesus. If you go into the Science of Mind textbook, you'll see teachings, Ernest Holmes' reflections on the teachings of Jesus. And of, you know, all of the ones that Deepak talked about, our greatest meditation, contemplation, and prayer are our major tools. Meditation is when we go within to encounter God and the light. And at the same time, meditation was not taught traditionally within the religion that Jesus adhered to, in the Jewish tradition. So a lot of people believe that Jesus, in the 10 years that he was absent, when there's no writing about him at all, that some people believe that he actually went to like India and that area to the east to study with the masters, the yogis and the masters. But he, in order for him to come up with a lot of the teachings that he did, Deepak talks about how he had to have had some sort of instruction, because that wasn't a part of the Jewish tradition. The Jewish tradition, mostly, and if you look at it today and watch them like they're praying at the wall, it's getting in contact with God through praise and worship. There's not a lot of going within. There's a lot of prayer, but there's not a lot of, and there's a lot of worship. There's not a lot of meditation. And Jesus, actually, and also prayer is going within to the light that relaxes our mind and our body so that we can immerse ourselves in the light that is within us. That's what Jesus wanted us to learn through meditation, is that we go within to the light within us. That's the reason we have all the lights outside of us, like the Christmas tree. On the Christmas tree, we have all the lights. It's to remind us. People put lights in their windows. People light a fire. They set by fires this time of the year. And then we talk about the sun, standing still in the sky for like 3 days. It looks like it's standing still. We're looking to the light. So all of these are, all of the pagan and the Christian things are coming together here to bring us once again back into the light, and we do that through meditation. The next one is contemplation. Contemplation is when we reflect on an object outside of ourselves, and that that's where we discover that everything outside of ourselves, even though it's shadow, it's still light. What we're doing is we're going within to be able to shed light upon it. And that's where we find that the inner and the outer life are both reflections of God, the light within us. Everything solid, and everything that is solid is a shadow. Only the light is real. The light, even though there is a shadow, that maybe there's a shadow being cast. Like, for instance, now we're being told that, you know, there's no money, that all the money is drawn out the shadow. But when you shed light upon it and you go within, you realize that there are riches that we know not of. I mean, you hear every day about millions and millions of dollars that are being circulated throughout the planet. I mean, there was an art opening not too long ago where people spent millions of dollars on art, and they didn't think anything about it. So there's money, but we shed light upon it, and we shed light upon that dark, and we realize that there's all this wonderful stuff that's available to us, that we're just standing in the shadow, and we don't have to stand there. We can stand there, but we can also know that there's a light that shines on everything. Contemplation is designed to, like I said, draw the seeker's attention inward. When we contemplate any spiritual teachings deeply enough, we are brought face to face with ourselves and how we view the world. We can use contemplation in order to discover higher meaning in different situations in our lives. past and present. Say, for instance, you know, you had a terrible relationship with your mother, but if you go in and you sit in it in the light of God in the contemplation and contemplate on it and shine the light of God upon it, that light that was in you, then all of that falls away and we get a new perspective on it. We can contemplate our mates. We can contemplate our mates who haven't even showed up yet. When we contemplate, we constantly shed light on the shadow in order to discover the light within. We can contemplate the words of Jesus. We can also contemplate the words of Jesus and find deeper meaning in them. I mean, anybody who has been, you know, hurt by the words of Jesus, you can actually go in and transform that through reading them and contemplating the true meaning behind them. And there are a lot of people, you know, that has had Christianity rammed down their throats and everything. So you can even contemplate the bigger picture behind our resistance to Christmas. And we can even contemplate, like I said, the Jesus himself. The next and third is prayer. Prayer is about finding the truth, asking God to show us the light, which is the essence of truth. Since we are light, prayer is simply the way the light asks to see itself. I love that phrase. Since we are light, prayer is simply the way light asks to see itself. Wow. That came from Deepak Chopra. I wish I had said that. Jesus prays often. Jesus sees prayer as a way for ordinary people to tell God what they want. Prayer affirms that there is only God and that God opens the heart to worship, gratitude, and praise. We pray for protection. We pray for pardon. God forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or my favorite prayer is, God, please, please forgive them, for they know not how stupid they are. Or, for God, please, please, help me to keep from being ugly with these people. I have a little note here for page 99. Let me see what that is. Oh, that was... Jesus teaches us a lot about prayer. And he, like I said, he prays often. And he prays believing. And that's what we do as religious scientists, that we pray. We pray believing. I heard it said so beautifully one time by Michael Beckwith. It's like, we don't pray for things, we pray for more God. That, to me, says it all. And as we celebrate this wonderful season of light, let us reflect upon the many lights in our life. Not just Jesus. It could be the Buddha, Muhammad, Ernest Holmes, Matthew Fox, and even Deepak Chopra. Also, let's not forget those people or things that are closer to us, like our partner, our home, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, and our brothers. And let's not also forget to shed light upon the shadows that we may see within, that we may see within them, thus transforming them through the light. Say, for instance, the wars, the people that are suffering in the world. Let's just see those in the light and know that that's not the truth. But last but not least, let us practice the greatest gift that Jesus gave us when he said, love ye one another. Because love and light are the same. And love and light are what we are. That was the biggest thing that I got from this book. So, at this time on Christmas, I really pray that we can find the light within us, that we can see the light that we are in the world, and we can practice being the presence of God, the presence of light everywhere.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.